I experienced something this morning. You all know I'm a big crybaby anyway. But this morning, I experienced something that I've never experienced with God ever in my life. While we were singing that song, Angie, you can go ahead and keep playing. I think it adds something nice. That way you don't have to listen to me keep sniffling. But there was something that hit me. We were singing that song, "You Hold Me Now." And this is the line that says, "No more weeping, no more tears, no more pain, no more hurt, no more. Where the wars will cease." And the amazing thing was, I was trying to sing because I love to sing. I told Darren I was going to sing with them this morning. He said, "Come on." And I was trying to sing, and nothing would come out of my mouth. I've never been arrested by the Spirit like that before. I was fearful I was going to pass out because I couldn't even breathe. And God just kept saying, "I will be your breath. I will be your breath." And just experiencing that, I couldn't say anything. I couldn't do anything. I could barely catch my breath. And God was just saying, "I will be your breath. Just humble yourself. Just humble yourself. And enter into a heart of brokenness." And then he gave me this vision for Trinity. I don't know if you know this. I think you already do. I'm going to say, God's about to break this place loose. He's been doing it already. Many of you that are sitting here this morning, it's not an accident. God did not bring you to this place on accident. God did not call you to Trinity. I've had to even rethink what that looks like. What does it mean to be called to a church? Some of you have been here for years. It is not an accident that you're still here. Because just like Esther said in her incredible moment of victory, because the victory happened before she even went to the place of standing up before the king. She said, "For a moment such as this." And I'm telling you, God is about to break this place loose. We desire to be a church that's just not okay with being okay. We desire to be a church where brokenness is accepted. Whoa. What a crazy idea. Where vulnerability is okay. Where when you get to hurt with the person next to you, you get to love with the person next to you. And you know what? You get to admonish also the person next to you. Because as iron sharpens iron, so one believer sharpens another. And there have been people in this community that have sharpened me, and I am so thankful to you. And I know that there are people in this community that I have sharpened, and hopefully you're thankful too. I'm just telling you, we went to General Assembly this last couple of days, and I mean, our whole staff, besides Pastor Tony, who was leading a group of men, 19 men, to Promise Keepers, we were there, and the church's rallying cry was trying to get churches to do certain things, live missionally, you know, give deeply, love longingly, you know, all these different things. And we all just kept looking at each other and we're going, God has blessed us with a church that is doing that. There is no question in our hearts that God has aligned us to be a church that's going to make a difference. And I just have to be honest with you as a leader. And I stand here toe-to-toe and arm-in-arm and side-by-side with the leadership of this church. This is not the senior pastor saying this. But I want to tell you that we will be a church of influence. And that we are not okay with just doing church status quo. That we want to be a place that's going to go and reach. We want to be a place that's going to help in the healing process. We want to be a place where it's so evident that God wants to do a work. And it's so much bigger than us. So much bigger. It's bigger than me. It's bigger than the pastoral staff. It's bigger than the church board. It's bigger than the mission team. It's bigger than all of that. Because it's what God wants to do. And I just couldn't. I've had many people, godly counsel in my life, that have said to me, Steve, God's going to do something bigger than you can ask for or imagine at Trinity. And the one thing that I just can't help but give him praise and give him thanks. And to get to revel in the moment of recognizing that, guess what? We're in the midst of it. We're not in the middle of it. Because there, in my opinion, in my humble heart, in my hope, there will be no end. Amen? So how can you say you're in the middle? Because then that indicates that there's an end. We're not in the middle, folks. We are in the midst of it. I apologize, I'm going a way different direction. But when God's working, you got to pay attention. Shame on me if I tell you to pay attention and then I don't, right? 2 Chronicles chapter 7. This is our study for Wednesday nights. You know what? I don't ever, you all know that my hope is to share hope. My prayer and my hope is that each one of us, as we leave here, you know, and I talk to you, that our desire is that you have an authentic encounter with the risen Lord here on a Sunday morning where you get to be in a part of that. And you know, my hope is that we send you off with hope. Hope of a great God who wants to meet you where you are and wants to transform your everyday, not just your Sunday. Can I say that again, church? Because you know what? I think God's preaching this morning better than your amening. Come on, right? Come on. We serve a God who wants to transform our everyday, not just our Sunday. Amen? And I'll tell you what, we're starting a study on Wednesday nights. Can y'all make an effort to get here? Can you do that? I don't want you to be here if you don't want to be here. I'm going to give you a pass. If you don't want to be here, don't come. But I'm telling you right now, we need more of you. And you know why we need more of you? It's not because we need more people to pray. I mean, I like that idea. I think it's really great because when you get a big crowd together, you start praying, amazing things happen. But just like Tara Beth prayed this morning, where two or three are gathered together, guess what? That becomes the most powerful place in the universe. Because where God is becomes the most powerful place. So you and maybe your spouse in the morning, when you pray together, God is there. That becomes the most powerful place in the universe. I mean, imagine that, where two or three are gathered together. But when a community gathers together, when we join together, when we really look at each other and we say, we're in this together, I'm going to lift your burdens as you lift mine. I'm going to pray to you as you pray for, pray for you and as you pray for me. And I'm telling you right now, nobody that was here on Wednesday is surprised by what's happening here right now. We knew that this was going to happen this morning. We knew the Spirit was going to break through because we already experienced it on Wednesday. Because as much as this is a great time to be together on Sunday mornings, the real work, the power of what happens here on Sunday mornings has already started on Wednesday night. So we're starting this study and God just kind of, I mean, it was one of those moments where it was, poof, I mean, he just hit me over the head with it and said, this is what you're supposed to do. And I'm like, praise the Lord. Second Chronicles chapter 7, verse 11 says, when Solomon had finished the temple of the Lord in the royal palace and had succeeded in carrying out all that he had in mind to do in the temple of the Lord and in his own palace. Yikes. Right? Here, how amazing is this, that we sang about a song this morning talking about the cloud, talking about how it rested upon the temple. And in that place, they, when it lifted, they moved. When it stayed, they stayed. And we sang about not moving forward unless God calls us to it. Amen? And here he is directing us to 2 Chronicles. Folks, I just want you to know, I can't make this stuff up. We don't sit all week long and go, how can we, you know, prepare for the Spirit to break in? Like, what scriptures can we, you know, Steve and Darren, when we're sitting down, we're working on songs, do we ever say, hey, I think we should do this, and then we're going to put in some scripture, and maybe Pastor will cry a little bit, and everybody will start getting into it. It just doesn't happen, folks. What you experience here, week in and week out, is nothing short of God's glory in this place. It is nothing short of it. And I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to give you permission to want more of it. I'm going to give you permission to hold me accountable to it. I'm going to give you permission to say, I don't want to leave. I don't want to move. I don't want to do anything. I want to come before the Lord and I want to say, Lord, show me your glory. I want to give you permission to wrestle with him in the wilderness. Whatever it is that he's trying to communicate to you, that message of transformation, because I really believe when we start to live transformed lives, I'm going to tell you right now, this community around us and the community that you live in and the world that you live in is going to start to look a little different. It's a call. You got to be willing. You got to be ready. You know, the days that you spend in the morning getting ready before you go to work, you should be with God, because guess what? You're going to need him throughout the day. That should be preparation time. God, lead me, guide me, strengthen me, be my shield, be my fortress, be my deliverer. Because I'm going to need you today. When I'm in that train on the commute to work, I'm going to need you. When I'm in the car getting ready to walk in to the office, I'm going to need you. When I'm sitting in my cubicle and the world just blows up around me, guess what, Lord? I'm going to need you. But you got to be in his word. You got to meet him there, because that's where he wants to meet you. And so all of a sudden we see Solomon here. Solomon decides, you know, because he was following his father's legacy, that he was going to build a place to house God. What? How in the world do you build a place to house God? And the whole time God's going, hey, remember when I was a nomadic God? Remember when I would move from place to place and I would instruct you where to go and when to go and how to go and do about, you know, all these things? That's the God that we serve. He's a nomadic God. He's a God that wants to lead us, not be confined into a place. God doesn't want us just to come here on Sunday mornings and do church and just keep them here. Everybody keeps talking about how we need to knock these walls down. Amen? I'm ready. Are you all ready? I mean, I don't know if that's the best course of action right now, but it doesn't change the fact I'm ready. You know, and I just got to be honest with you. There are major decisions in the life of Trinity that are going to be coming up through the summer that we're going to be launching in the fall. We just brought Tara Beth in, who this is her second Sunday. Are you guys excited for Tara Beth being here? I mean, like... What an answer to prayer. And there's a part of me that's just humbled at his feet that he would honor us with his vision and his purpose. It's just awesome. It's awesome. Do you know, people have said, well, Pastor, how come you're not here? I'm talking about a General Assembly. They said, well, you should stay for Sunday service. You know, that's like when pastors really, you know, should be there for Sunday service. And I'm going, no, I want to worship with my people. I want to be here. I want to be at Trinity on Sunday morning. That's where I want to be. Because if I wasn't your pastor, you're going to have a hard time getting rid of me. I'm just telling you all that right now. Like, if you ever plan to, you better give me like years in advance. Like, hey, listen, you know, 2024. So I can prepare, because I'm going to tell you right now, my family, We love this church. We are heart deep in this church. And we love each and every one of you. And I am struggling with the growth. Honestly. I am struggling with the growth. Because my heart is so bent towards people I want to reach, each and every one of you. And I know that's so hard. And the hardest thing that I have to do as the leader of leaders is to relinquish some of that control and some of that ability to other really great and qualified people. But it still hurts me a little because I want to be there for you day in and day out, night in and night out. Phone calls at 3 o'clock in the morning and all. The Lord meets with Solomon and he says, I've heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a temple for sacrifices. When I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain or command locusts to devour the land or send a plague among my people. Here it is. If there's a condition, this is God's condition to us. He is putting out a condition. And this is different than a command. This is a condition because there's a then, right? Whenever you see in scripture, if, and then you see a then, this is cool stuff. God's speaking to us. He says, if my people who were called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayers offered in this place. I have chosen and consecrated this temple so that my name, God's saying here, my name may be there forever. My eyes and my heart will always be there. Amen. I met Jerry Carnes at General Assembly. And he and I, we hugged. He said, man, I just hear great things. I said, the great things are all true. So when you start hearing otherwise, that's when you got to sift through it a little bit, Jerry, you know. But I had the privilege and the honor of looking at him and telling him, Jerry, and those of you that don't know, Jerry was the pastor here. He really is kind of the founding father of Trinity as we know it today. He brought a vision and a mission and a purpose. And he still is heart deep in this church. Y'all have a way about yourselves that you just gravitate people in, man. It's awesome. And I said, Jerry, I said, you know, I go, the best part about what I do is I get to continue the vision that you've already laid before us. And he just started to weep. And he just said, he says, you don't know how much that means to me. Because we're all in this together. We're all in this together. I just love this. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. There's a call. First to humility, and then to prayer, and then to seeking his face. And then when you do all those things, guess what happens? There's a turn. There's a turn that happens there. And the turn is away from your wicked ways, and it's a turn towards God. This, folks, when we look at this passage in 2 Chronicles, this is our doctrine of holiness. It's allowing God's grace to be sufficient in our weakness and knowing that when we are weak, he is strong. It's allowing him to do incredible things in our lives. It's being transformed by the renewing of our mind. It's turning from our wicked ways and recognizing that, you know, the wicked ways are going to be there, right? But they don't have power over you anymore. They have no drawl on you anymore. God's grace has wiped you white as snow. You are clean. And when you're clean, live a clean life. Be cleaned. Don't just live in the state of, well, you know, no. Proclaim it. Believe it. Circle it in the scripture because it's a promise to you that he will sanctify you through and through. God just doesn't put these things out there and go, well, you know, maybe that can happen. He says, no, I want to do this for you, in you, through you. But here's the other cool part about that. He says, now what I want you to do is I want you to share this in your life, with your life. You're walking around, you're every day, you're going to work, you're sleeping, eating, breathing life. I want you to live that out for the people around you. I want you to live for them. I want you to show them who I am through how you live. How awesome is that? How many of you are just scared to death, though? That is scary. Thank you, Rick. Come on. Because that's scary. That's not easy. It's not easy. Turn with me to Matthew 25. Well, we're just going to go now. And I apologize to the two groups that we're going to report this morning. You know, this is such a really cool set that we have set up here. I feel like I'm just going to sit here for a second just to say we used it this morning. Right? Doesn't this look cool? This looks cool. It's not what we're about, but you know, it looks really neat. So Matthew 25, right? Verse 31. This is what I feel this morning God has laid on our hearts for us to really kind of dive into what this looks like. Verse 31, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in his heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. What do you think that kingdom's going to look like, recognizing that he is still creating it for us right now? And that he's been creating it since the beginning of creation. He's been creating a kingdom that has your name on it. Whoa, that's crazy. Verse 35, for I was hungry. This is why he gets to say this to them. He says, for I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him. I love this. This is the coolest part of the scripture. I love this because they didn't even realize that they were doing these things. Do you know why they didn't realize it? Because it just was a part of who they were. Because God had radically transformed their life so much and they were living so for him that they didn't even realize that they were doing these things. It was a byproduct of their life. And he says, then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? The king will reply, I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. That's good stuff. How many times have you heard preachers preach on this passage? Amen? Unfortunately, though, in the church, we stop short because there's more to the story. This is the part of the story that stings a little bit. It's a part of the story that kind of, you know, like you got to wrestle a little bit with God here. Because when you hear these words, there's accountability. See, God's word demands a response. Whether you respond in a way of relationship and want to go deeper with God, knowing that he's going to continue to refine you and shape you, or a response of saying, I'm out. But that's the gift of free will. He says, my word demands a response. And this is what verse 41 says. Then he will say to those on his left, the goats, depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison and you did not look after me. They also will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you? He will reply, I tell you the truth. Whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. I'll tell you what, folks, that's a word for us this morning. That is a call, a clarion call of God that we need to pay close attention to this morning. Because my greatest fear for you, and I got to be honest with you, I am so selfishly thankful that Malcolm and Joy and the family is back, because I'm going through a season of time right now in my life that I need him. And I know I'm calling him out, but it's because as iron sharpens iron, and the things that God is aligning Trinity to be a part of in the future, it's taking a ton of energy and it's taking a ton of resources and emotional resources and physical resources for me. And I'm so thankful to Ralph this morning who prayed over me and my wife and everyone else. I don't even know who else was here. I apologize if you were here. But I could hear Ralph praying over me. And his prayer was what I needed to hear this morning. And just to give that strength. But my greatest fear for us this morning as a church is that we would be a church that would be struggling with that dynamic of either being a sheep or a goat. You know, I mean, we want to be a church that's filled with sheep, right? And that's kind of funny because anytime you look in scripture, sheep are just big dumb animals, right? They really were. And they were really kind of the only way that they existed was because of the voice of the shepherd leading them. So I'm okay with us being I'm a big dumb animal. You know what I mean? Like, I'm okay with that. Because I know that the only way I can exist, the only way I can move through and navigate through the waters of life is listening for the voice of my shepherd. But I want to caution us, I want to caution all of us that we don't fall into the side of being a goat. Because guess what? You have to realize that when Jesus is speaking this parable and he's telling them this story, he's helping them to understand that some of you have had the best of intentions and you're good in your meaning. And you mean well, but you're still missing the mark. The greatest verse that just scares me as your pastor is the one that says, and there'll be those on that day that will cry out, Lord, Lord. And he will look back at you and say, I never knew you. That scares me. I am petrified at that. And if I can take any amount of time or any amount of series or preaching or even just this right now and just communicate to you that scares me, because I want to experience this forever, because I think this is what forever is going to look like. Amen? Might be different than what we see here and now. I'm okay with that, right? But you know what? We can be a community that lives and embodies the model and message that God's kingdom wants to be established here. When we say to God, when we pray to him, and we say, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, right? Your kingdom come. Your will be done. Amen. We can be a community that can perpetuate this incredible message that there's no more weeping, no more pain, no more hurt, And people are experiencing right now. Many of you in this place are experiencing it right now. But this is such a temporary time. Just like the scripture says, your life is just a vapor, a mist in all of eternity. But we run this race with perseverance, amen? And we're running for a prize. But our prize is not what moth and dust destroy. Our prize is not something that we, earn here. And don't you dare run just because you're trying to earn it there. Seriously. Because that's backwards. Seek God in all things. Seek His heart. Seek His face. Humble yourself. Just allow Him to be Him just immeasurably more and in transforming your life. And I want us to have a call this morning, a call to the church. And I want us to go singing that song, the song that we were singing that I just can't even for the life of me remember right now. No, the one I was just talking about. You Hold Me Now. Thank you, Steve. But I want you to hear it with a different set of lenses or ears. You probably see with a different set of lenses. You probably hear with something completely different. But I want us to hear this as a song for the church. Some of you this morning need to hear it as your song. Some of you need to hear it as a song of restoration and a song of healing that brokenness. Amen. And some of us this morning, as the church, we need to hear this song as a way that we can be that to this world. That we can be a place of healing. Where we can be a place that recognizes that not only does God hold me, but He has a desire to hold those around us. Amen? And then I'm just going to tell you this right now, folks. Buckle your seatbelts. Because I'm telling you, what God gave me this morning, we are in for a ride of our lives, and He is about to break this place loose. And I'm just going to invite you now, come on, 7 o'clock Wednesday nights, if you all want to be in the glory cloud, right? How long have you been waiting to hear that term, right? The glory cloud, where we pray God's glory, you know, that manifest presence in this place, that He becomes the walls, the fire that envelops us and becomes the walls of this place. Amen? 7 o'clock Wednesday. And so let's stand as we close and we're going to sing that song. And I just let your hearts just be open this morning. And I'm just praying right now in my heart that God would tear through this place in a mighty way. Amen? Amen. Amen.